Okay, very good. So each Sunday, we teach right from the Bible at the Branch, and we'll be in the Bibles that are available to you on the two tables in back of the two sections here, and those are yours to keep. If you need a Bible, don't have a Bible that you can read, please take the Bible from the Branch. And so that page number corresponds to that Bible, and you're welcome to follow along there. Most of the texts that we'll use today out of the Bible, that passage will be on the screen. So, and if you'd like to speak in a text, text me a question. Anytime you can do that. I can't promise you that I'll answer it, but I do have my phone right here, and if there's time, sometimes I'll take an answer, and would be happy to try to handle that right here. Or know this, that you'll get me to respond to it no matter what, even if I have to go home and I'll respond to it later. I'll never put you on the spot, so the text will always remain confidential. It'll just be a question. Sometimes I won't be able to answer the question, so you'll just have to wait till I can figure out the answer in some cases. So anyway, that's a resource for you. So I have something up here. It's called the Purple Wonder. It belongs to Cassie Gifford, who lives in our house, and we have a house where there's seven of us that live in it. It's a big house, and enjoy that. She's one of the young ladies that lives there and rents from us and is also at the Portland Youth Conference. This is an interesting bike. It's smaller, and she's a smaller gal, but I've got a challenge for anyone here that would like to come up and see if you could help me. So would there be some young whippersnapper or somebody that would like to come up here? I'm going to try to make sure you don't get hurt, but I'd like to have you come up and help me out here. So I told my son I was going to pick on him if nobody was going to come forward real quickly. So come on up, son. So my son is trying to become a samurai. You notice that? This is Johnny, my youngest, 17. Yep, and he wore a shirt to match the bike today. No. That wasn't on purpose, but it looks like it. So here's what we need you to do, Johnny. In front of everybody here, you have to stay on the bike with your feet on the pedals and not fall. Okay, go ahead. If you can do that, not fall. No, you got to do it without falling, son. So just hold on to it. Here, come on, try it again. You can do it. Got it. Okay, you're working at it. Good. Can you keep going? Come on. No, you got to have it standing still. All right, he's not going to be able to do that. So there's professional bicyclists in this room. Okay, so I just found out, Carol. Carol, there she is. You know what? Carol, yeah, I just found out that Carol is like a bike rider. She rides all over the place. She just ran the bridge route from I-5 to I-205 and all the way around that. Did you know that there was a route? Does bicyclists do that? She did the Seattle to Portland. You want to do that? Okay. Well, I know there's somebody here that came all the way from Texas and knows how to ride a bike. And that's Ron Holland. Come on up here, Ron. Now, Ron rides in these major races and big trail rides, don't you? All over the place. You don't ever race?
My goal for the finish line is to get there before they take it down.
Well, he's very acquainted with things like this. This is a bike. And so you got to try to do the same thing Johnny did. I don't want you to, are you okay with that? I didn't care if Johnny got hurt, but I don't want you to get hurt. All right, you got to be able to stay on the bike without it moving, with all your feet off the ground. Okay, so you did. He's blind; he can't see what just happened. So not so easy. Yeah. So okay, so give him a hand. Yeah, that's right. All right. So what's the idea here? The bike is made for motion. It's not made to stand in one place. If it were to be, if it was to do what it's created to do, you have to be moving to stay on it. Friends, the church is made to move. It's made for motion. It's a movement. We've been talking about that. The church is a movement, and it's been moving in what it's supposed to do since the movement maker began it. That's Jesus Christ. And so If we're not moving with the kingdom of God and with the Spirit of God and what God wants to do in the world, well, we're going to get frustrated in life. We're going to get frustrated because we can't get this thing to go. And God wants it to go. And so we've been talking about this thing called the movement in the book of Acts. And last week we looked at one short passage, and we came out of that with this idea that we're together, that the church is meant to be together, that followers of Jesus, as they came to follow Jesus, were together. And it was this obvious piece to that passage, that they were together. And so we came away from last week with this idea that because Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples, and because he also said to, you know, that you're going to receive power to those early disciples, and then they were to be witnesses, remember, eyewitnesses, that he was alive from the dead, and they were to witness to people or to testify, to share the message about Jesus being alive from the dead in the very kingdom of God, this idea of movement or church, to Jerusalem, where they started, to Judea, to Samaria, which goes on beyond that. It's like from, you know, Vancouver, Camas, to Clark County, to the state of Washington, to the rest of the United States and the world over. It's like that's a movement, and that's what the church is essentially about, this togetherness, this community, thank you, Ron, accenting that, this community that's on mission. So we're a church on mission together. We're on mission together. And it's an exciting thing. Let's look at that passage again. And you can read it. It's on the back side of the notes today, the whole passage. And it won't be on the screen, but check this out again with me. I'm going to read it. Follow along if you will. I'm going to read verse 40 and 41 because it really sets up for what happens as the church was observed, and then this guy named Luke wrote down what he saw, what he understood as he interviewed people, and he wrote down a couple paragraphs of some interesting things. So with many other words I'm reading, he warned them, and he pleaded with them. And this is Peter, the apostle, this missionary, this church planting guy. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And remember, the instructions were, after they came to trust in Christ and realize that Christ, this Jesus, was really the Messiah sent from God, they were given it to instructions when they wanted to know, well, what do we do about this now that we've been doing wrong to God, not honoring him, and we put his very son and the Messiah, the one who to save us, to death. We helped to, you know, crucify him. What do we do? The two instructions were to repent and then be baptized. Well, as the people came, about 3,000, of probably a much greater number, came to say, I'm going to follow God the way more correctly, way more right here, by getting to know this Jesus, by following him. And so therefore, I'm going to repent, that is, turn my life toward God more and follow him and then be baptized. That's a complete dipping under water. And we looked at Jim's testimony again last week over that and the first baptism at the branch. What happened after that, though? Well, let's read again this passage. They devoted themselves. These are all the followers that came to be added to the smaller number of probably about 120 people that were gathered. Now there's 3,000 and some, 120. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What a great passage. This is what was observed by the investigator, Dr. Luke, who also enjoyed history and wrote these things down under the inspiration of God so that they were true to the facts of what happened at that time. And they became part of the record of what we call today scripture or truth of what has actually happened. And it has been preserved down through the centuries to even our eyes today to be able to understand what happened. And what we have is this snapshot, don't we? Not very long passage, just really kind of short. Snapshot of what happened. What was this thing like? What did these followers do after they came to begin to follow Jesus? What happened to them? And of course, we see that they were together. And then I want to just say one more thing about what they did today before we move on into chapter 3 of the book of Acts. They were together and they had this kind of healthy community. I think if we look closely at this, we'll see there's a lot of health here. Health that comes from the way people are responding to God in community. And so the community was healthy because people within the community were doing things that had some really great healthy characteristics. My daughter is here, oldest daughter from the UK, first time at the branch. Where are you at, honey? There you go. So wave, there you go, Kayla. And so, and she hasn't been here yet, but she is a health, can I say it, health nut. So she's finding things about me. Daddy, you can do this. It's more healthy for you. So she had for me taped to a cup this morning, inside of it some lemon and ginger. And I was to get my hot cup of lemon and ginger in me before I have my coffee, which it reversed this morning because I got which is very interested in health. That's a good thing, isn't it? Some of you can identify, and you're into that. Yes, health is important. Health is important with respect to our eternity, with respect to the things that are going on in our souls and our spirits. And so these observations of this healthy community or culture that what became of the church initially, these observations are what people see and they reported. And so we got the report today of what the first church was like when it started. We're a new church plant. That was a new church plant at the very beginning. And we see some things in there. Well, people around us are going to see some things about the branch. If you checked in, you're starting to talk about the branch, and they're going to see some things. They're going to come in and observe. Every Sunday we have new people coming in the doors, and they're observing things. Could they write home, or I guess tweet and Facebook and that kind of text people and say something about us? If they could, they would say these things, wouldn't they? Similar to the early church, could they say these things? Could they say that we have a hunger to hear about Jesus? Would they notice that? I think they would, that church has a hunger to hear about Jesus. Look at the way the early church did it. This verse is really important. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. These were activities they did. They were devoted to them because they had a hunger to know more about Jesus. They just came to understand that he was the true Messiah. And our mission around here is to know Jesus and to make him known. This is a hunger that they had, a thirst to know more about this Messiah that they just now are beginning to follow. And so they devoted themselves to listening to the Word of God through the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the gathering and the value there of knowing others and hearing about their stories and what's going on in their lives, to remembering what Jesus did through the breaking of bread, which is our communion. We have every week here at the branch, and to praying, oh God, help us to know you better. Jesus, help us to know you better. This is what they were devoted to know Jesus. Think of a person in your life that gives you energy, that gives you life, that makes your game better. Who is that? Might have been someone in the past, might be someone in your life right now. Could be a parent, could have been a coach, could be someone you work with that's a superior in your environment of work. Who is it that gives you energy? You can't wait to get around them. You're attracted to be close to them because they give you life. You get away, you get by them, and it's like things go up a notch or two in life. Friends, that's what Jesus is really like. When we get around Jesus, to really know Jesus is to know someone that's going to give us better than really anyone on the planet could give us, and any two or three of them together could never measure. against the kind of value that Jesus Christ gives to us, friends. And so there's times in our lives, and I know mine, sometimes when I'm more hungry and thirsty to know Jesus. I want to know him better. I want to get, you know, because there's something about that made me hungry and thirsty to get to know him better. And Jesus is this one who will raise up your life more than we know. We talk about this fact that we are we're existing to make Jesus known to the growing number of people in our community, all around us, around your neighborhood. There's a growing number that are uninformed about Jesus. We say uninformed, we say misinformed, and we say underinformed. I grew up going to church every Sunday, and when I came to a fuller realization, when I got to get hungry and thirsty because other people around me knew something about Jesus that I didn't know. I thought I had him figured out. And all of a sudden, I didn't know something that maybe would be a blessing to me to know in my life more of this Jesus. I didn't know what was in the Bible. But I'd gone to church every single Sunday of my life. I was underinformed about Jesus Christ. I'll say there's a whole bunch of people out here that are just like where I was, and I'm still trying to become as informed as I can. I want to grow to know him more. And that hunger and thirst from people that are like salt to me, that I want to be more like, I want to enjoy the kind of spiritual longings that they're enjoying in their lives, that can be there. We have a hunger and thirst to hear about Jesus. You're here because you have some kind of hunger or thirst to know Jesus better. And that's a good thing, because you will. We will continue to grow and know him better. This is something else they would observe, just out of this passage, like was observed of the first church. They would observe that we have an awe and anticipation of what only God can do. We have this awe and anticipation of what only God can do. There's some things that only God can do, and if you look at the verse there, everyone in verse 43 was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Of course, they had these, you know, incredible measures of spiritual power, supernatural power, that helped to bring confirmation of these new words, what we call the New Covenant Scriptures, right? The new, that would eventually become written down, but they were orally given at this time. They were able to do these incredible miracles. But God still does miracles. Maybe not in that way, but there's miracles happening every day in our lives. We don't sometimes see them or know how to acknowledge them at times. And sometimes only by looking back can we see, God, you were there and you helped me through this time. Let me just give you a couple examples of like an awe, which helps create a further anticipation of what God can do. All these people that were there, some of them, you know, were there from all over the known world of the time of the Roman Empire, and they had traveled to be there, and they stayed, apparently. We'll look at that a little more deeply, but they seemed to hang out. They called home or whatever they did, Skyped home, and they said, look, we're going to extend our vacation because we want to know this Jesus more. And there's some cool things happening, you know, these wonders and signs and these things that were God's doing something here. We want to hang. Some of them maybe just decided to, you know, change their career plans. And I bet a bunch of them started to become missionaries for Jesus through this. About 2 years ago, Laura and I came to the place where we felt we needed to make a transition. So I started to look for another pulpit somewhere. In other words, another place to do ministry. And church planting was the furthest thing from our minds. In fact, we had desired church planting over 20 years ago. And things happened to where that didn't work out. So I was just looking for some people that were well-connected. And I called up George Johnson, and he says, I'll meet you. Boom. We met at a little Elmer's Pancake House in Albany, Oregon. And I was asking him about what he knew of churches that might need another senior pastor. And he says, well, what about church planting? Today I look at that as God's intervention to direct Lori and I into something that we had dreamt about, had a vision for, but had never been brought to a place of completion. So here we are today. I'm in awe of God and anticipate what else is he going to do. We came into the area and looked at four rental homes a little over a year ago. And the only one that even had the opportunity at the time, it was very difficult to find a rental home, was this home that we're in now. A number of you have been in our home. And we thought, well, this one's probably already gone too, because they were going faster than we could call on them. And no, the lady said, no, we'll meet you there tomorrow morning. It's not, and we're the landlords and also the owners, which is kind of interesting. It wasn't a management company and such. So turned out this young couple, a Chinese couple, had been part of a church plant 15 years ago. They were so thrilled that we were going to be planting a church. They said, we hope this works because we'd love to see this home used for ministry. Because that's what they bought it for and found out it was just too big for them and they didn't really have the gifts of hospitality. And so they moved but kept it as a rental, and we're thrilled that we're part of that. And a couple today is just an amazing couple in our lives. God. Okay, we look at that and we say God is involved in what we're doing. Not a coincidence, but a God incidence. We came and we're looking for a place to have our church services. And we started to look and we got a couple, two or three other places. And the gal who's the one we worked with the school district, said, they thought about Union High School. It's our newest school. It's got great spaces. And she was almost trying to talk us into this place. She didn't have to, because as soon as we saw it and got to looking at it, we thought, wow, this would work out perfectly. And so we again saw what Bible might call a person of peace, somebody that's helping us. Our custodian here, the head custodian of this place, is involved in our church. She is not able to be here today, but she receives us so well and facilitates whatever we need. That's from God. When the church came to a point where we were kind of really scraping the bottom as far as our financial resources are concerned, we had our need was we needed more churches to help support us. We got a call. Really an email from Ron Holland, the Hills Church. Friends, are our largest church supporter. Okay, we have five churches that are supporting us. They're the largest one, and they made up a huge difference. God, are we in awe of what God is doing around us, what God is doing right here among us? Friends, as I look back a little bit, as I just kind of see these things that are happening here and there and things that we don't know how we're going to do this or how this is going to happen or how we're going to reach more people sometimes. He's the head of the church. He's the vine of which the fruit that's produced here is only because we stay connected to that vine. Oh, my. Yes, we have an awe and anticipation of what only God can do. Keep that in your hearts, friends, because that's what's going on. If you have something happening in your life, keep in awe of what God has done in your life in the past and anticipate what he's going to do through and in your life today. Thirdly, we joyfully share with and serve each other. All believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Isn't that a cool story? Isn't that a neat report? Well, that's what the branch is doing as well. We have an authentic, sincere, a gladness. We know how to laugh. People can observe that. We're about sharing and serving. And we've been doing that. I can remember two little old ladies, Hazel and Nellie. Okay, now this goes way back into the early 80s. And I was a young bachelor and I was starving. And they had this singles retreat that all these singles were going to. And they wanted me to go to it, you know. And I says, I'm not going to be able to. And these two ladies pooled their money together and paid my $60 fee to go to that singles retreat that was a transforming impact on my life. They were generous. They gave some money that had an impact on me. To this day, that's a marker in my past of what God does through community. Don't ever think that what you give, wonder where that all, it, God uses your generosity to impact people's lives. He really does. I can remember this family having me over every Sunday night and feeding me. Probably the greatest impact of my life change came from that family. And what I noticed the most, I can't remember the Bible studies. I'm sure they did something to me, you know, because God's word does. But you know what I noticed the most? Their hospitality. They opened up their lives to me. Friends, those things matter. And you know that because you're doing it. We're doing it as a church. We're opening our hearts and our lives up to people, serving and sharing. That's what the early church did. That's the impact they had. And I want to just thank all of you that are serving around here. You're willingly serving. Some of you are saying, I don't like maybe doing some of this. You know, maybe it's in your heart that this isn't really fit me. But you're willing and you're doing stuff that needs to be done that maybe you're not gifted at as much. Thank you. Thank you for that. We are handing out today as you leave spiritual gifts, inventory that you can use to kind of assess where you are, and also a passion and interest survey. And it's just a couple pages. It's real quick, and it's a lot of fun. My family took it, and oh my goodness, it was a riot. But you find out some things perhaps, or affirm some things that you already know, and these will help you fit into some teams we're going to be putting together here at the branch for reaching people, for doing the mission together. On mission together. So we'll hand you this, bring it back, it'll get scored and be confidential, so you can bring it back inside of this, and then you'll get it scored and you get the information back, okay? All the new people that are coming to the church will be able to get this done fairly quickly as they come into the church, because we want them to fit into the body life of the branch here. Okay, so the last one, four, we have a heart for our community. This church, the early church, had a heart for its community. Obviously, they were a brand new church. They're thinking of reaching out. Look what the Bible says there. Look what the scripture reports there. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So what we would understand from that, as I would analyze it a little bit, is they respected and loved everyone in Jerusalem, or they wouldn't have had favor of all the people around. But all the people liked what was happening, the people, what they did, as they observed the community. There was this favor. There's a elementary school that contacted Lori called Hearthwood, and I call it Hearthwood Heard. They heard, this elementary school, that the branch does stuff in the community for fests, that we have maybe all of this kind of carnival equipment and inflatable bouncers, and they called us and said, hey, we heard that you guys do this and we need help because we're trying to produce an event and such and such. And so we helped them out. We don't have all the equipment, but we're happy to help, and I think you've already sent some ideas on what we do. And they heard in the community, you, branch, have a reputation for giving something to the community that the community notices and appreciates. And they'd like to copy our family fun fest. Back in the number of you who helped out at our family fun fest and our grand harvest party of over 900 people that came through this place in a couple of hours. People hear about these things. The parents' night out just a couple of weeks ago. Peggy Carlson, if I can get it right, is the Evergreen School's liaison. If I get that right, correct me if I'm wrong, honey. Liaison to the underprivileged or students in transition, I think is what they call it. We gave them at Christmas time $1,050. You did. We took an offering, $1,050. How can we help out the Evergreen Schools? To my dear friends at the branch, Peggy writes, thank you so much for your generous donation to the Students in Transition program at Evergreen Public Schools. I am truly overwhelmed by your kindness. Right now, our community is facing a housing crisis. District-wide, we have more than 800 students who lack a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. Can you believe that? Just in the Evergreen Schools. Many of our students are doubled up with friends or relatives because they can't afford a place of their own. Several are staying in shelters while others live in their cars. Your donations will allow us to fill a gap in many of their needs, whether it's school clothes, winter costs, graduation caps and gowns or supplies for school project, the students will be covered. Please know how much I appreciate your support of our most vulnerable students. Thank you, Peggy Carlson. Friends, we're going to continue to have a big, giant heart for the community. It isn't going to just be about us, but God has us in motion, on mission, to reach and touch people's lives in the name of Jesus Christ. The idea that we're going to make Jesus known, okay, to our community. We're going to do that by equipping ourselves to invest in relationships in life-giving ways. We're going to bring Christ to the community. So we're like this in the Bible. That's what I'm seeing in the branch right now today. Okay, Easter's coming. So let me just, as we close up here, and the band can come up, I want to share a couple things as we have our final song, and we're going to take communion in our kind of response time. A couple things you can do. Easter's coming. We want to be putting out our eggs. We're going to egg all our neighbors this year at Easter. That's right. Plastic eggs with inside of it is a rolled up invitation to people. We've got 500 of them coming. We're sending out a 30,000 piece mailer that'll hit homes in a couple of weeks. Easter's 1 month away, if I've got my numbers right. Yeah, come on up, Mike, and begin to play here into our response time. I want to ask you, church, to pray. And there's a slip of paper inside that you would have received that has some times here next Saturday. We're not going to any particular place, so you could pray 15 minutes in your home, okay? And if you turn this into us, which I want to encourage you to do, I'll pray 15 minutes. We'll send some prayer pointers out for you. Just pray for that 15 minutes. We're going to try to cover 10 hours of prayer with regard to our outreach for Easter. We're on mission together. We're a church in motion, this community that we have, to talk to God about the people that he would have us connect with over Easter. So I'd love to see everybody participating in that for 15 minutes from your own home, wherever you are. We're going to have communion every Sunday we do, and as they sing this song, the beginning part of the song, you can go back, and you're invited, if you're a follower of Jesus, to take communion. And you can take it back at the tables, you can bring it back to your seat, you can stand around, whatever is right for you as we worship in this next song. Also, just want to encourage anybody that might need some prayer today. We're back here, I think we got some room at the family area for prayer. If you'd like to go back to that area, somebody will be there to pray with you over a need you have, or would like to just talk. If you're a visitor with us, a second time, first time, just meet us at the VIP center as well, and we'll give you those gifts before you go. In the last part of this song, after we take communion, there'll be a plate passed, and that's for the communication card. And again, I want to thank the extra communication cards that came in last week. Those really help us because it kind of helps us to know who's not here, and then we can call on them and see if there's any needs there. So thank you for turning in a communication card, even if it's just your name, so we know you're here, as well as any offerings that come in. So I want to pray with you. I want to direct you a bit in prayer. There's some empty chairs around us. If I could just ask you to look at a chair or put your hand on an empty chair. I want to direct you in praying for somebody in your life that you know about, that you've got, you're praying about, your 7 for heaven card. You're praying for them, and just lead you in that. So let's all think of someone right now in our lives that we know that may not know Jesus. They're uninformed, maybe misinformed, maybe they're just underinformed about Jesus. Who is that person? Ask God to intervene in their lives, to create opportunity, even for you, to be able to invest further in that relationship in some life-giving way and manner. Ask God for boldness to reach out to some maybe newer people around you in your orbit of life that your acquaintance, the relationship now, and how can that go to another step or level? And ask God to facilitate that, to make you more sensitive and aware. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to commune with your body and with Jesus, remembering what he did in his death for us and our salvation. So as we sing this song, God, receive our praise and thanksgiving as we remember through communion what you've done for us. We love you, God. We thank you for the opportunity to be here at the branch today, to connect well with community, to be on mission together. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.